Before we open God's word, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, come before thee this evening hour, thankful for the opportunity to come and worship with those of like precious faith, to worship with our hearts, to bring honor and glory to thy holy name, to bring our petitions before thee, Lord, Heavenly Father, and to be fed by thy holy word. We pray that thou wouldst, with thy Holy Spirit, guide the thoughts and mouth of thy weak servant, Lord, and we pray that thou would touch each and every one of our hearts, that we would be able to understand what thy message is to us. We know, Lord, Heavenly Father, that we have many needs, but we trust and pray that thou would fulfill and supply those needs for each and every one of us according to our faith. We pray all these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners, this evening hour I have desired that we read out of Gospel of Mark, chapter number 2. Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. And I would like to read first 17 verses from the beginning. Mark chapter 2, first 17 verses. And again he entered unto Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in a house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. They came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come in nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed therein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned with themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of the custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. May the Lord bless these few words in upon our hearts. Dear ones, as we read from this account in a almost very beginning of Jesus's mission on this earth, that he became very, very known, very famous, if you can say it that way, because people recognized that what he was sharing, what he was preaching, what he was teaching in this house where he was, which I believe that was house of Peter, where he stayed occasionally. That was something that was very important and very important to seize the opportunity to perhaps come and listen to him. And as brother prayed, we see that house is full to the extent that no one can come in. And here is a man who is sick of palsy. I don't exactly know. I believe it's some kind of disease disease of brain where affects the functionality of limbs and legs and arms, hands. But we see that he's a paralyzed man, that he cannot walk, that he was carried by four men. He was probably carried so many times to places where he would beg. This time, he was carried with a hope that Jesus Christ would heal him. When they came to the door, they realized that they can go through. And I can't not marvel at his faith and at the faith of these four that were carrying him. He didn't just say, "Oh, well, we tried. It is not possible. Let's try another time." So the urgency was there. The urgency was to that extent that they did unthinkable. They climbed the roof and they opened the roof. They broke the ceiling. And I'm sure at that time roofs were not the roofs that we have over here. In these days, there was no concrete. There was probably straw with a mud with a branches laying over beams that was maybe not so hard to remove. But nonetheless, dear ones, they got to the plan B. They didn't get discouraged. They knew that Jesus Christ needs to see this man today. And I think it's a good lesson for each and every one of us, especially for those who are outside the fold of Jesus Christ. Those that didn't feel that urgency maybe yet. Maybe you're doing fine. Maybe you don't feel like something is wrong with you. Maybe you're thinking in your head that there is going to be next Sunday or following Sunday. And it probably will. It probably will. We are used to that. We're used to be able to come to church. We're used to have that freedom to come to church without worrying, are we going to be able to? Are we going to see the healer again? (Clears throat) They opened the ceiling. They dropped a man by ropes right in front of Jesus Christ. He says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But didn't he come for physical healing? Didn't he come because he couldn't walk? Jesus knew. Jesus knew what is that he needs the most. The need that needs to be met first is for his sins to be forgiven, which is much more important. Even though maybe if he saw that miracle, maybe we would like to see the man being healed, stand up straight on his legs and walk. But we have to also understand that the miracle that a forgiving of sins was even greater. Forgiveness of sins that heal his soul forever. Yes, he came for physical healing, and he ended up being healed physically as well. And as much as maybe that miracle looked huge at that time, he still ended up passing from this earth. He still ended up getting old, maybe. We don't know how long he lived. But he died. But the healing of his soul that he received, dear ones, is something that we experience today as well. Do we take that as a miracle? Is a question. Do we maybe just take it as expected, maybe? I know everyone who has his sin forgiven, I know we feel that is a miracle. I know we knew what we were like when we were in sin. I know we knew how we made sad not only our Heavenly Father, but each other on this earth. That is something maybe that we in our minds maybe plan to do. Maybe we don't. Maybe we come to listen as scribes and Pharisees were. Come and see, where can we catch this man and his word? And when they heard the words of Jesus Christ, son, thy sins be forgiven thee, they got upset. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins by God only? They were not wrong about that part. God can forgive the sins. Where they were wrong, that they didn't recognize that this was a son of God. Even if I believe they were able to witness miracles already from him, having authority where they didn't have authority, having authority maybe to heal where they couldn't heal other person, at least not in this fashion. So they were wrong that they failed that to recognize that this is the Son of God. That there is something divine about him. There is something different. When he speaks with authority. They didn't want to recognize it. Some did. Nicodemus was able to recognize it. Even discreetly, he came and talked to Jesus. But he testified before him, "I don't want to talk to you because I know the things that you do cannot be done unless God is with you." Reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirits that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts?" This is where they should start thinking. How does he know what are we thinking in our hearts? Whether is it easier to say the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Arise and take up thy bed and walk"? He didn't say which one was easier. But Pharisees and scribes, they knew that it's not easy either way. It is not easy. They don't have authority to forgive sins, and they don't have authority to say to a sick of the palsy, rise up, take your bed and walk. But it's also true, it is also accurate that God does have authority to forgive sins. God does have authority to heal from impossible diseases, uncurable diseases. But this, he showed this to them so they know, so they see. If they couldn't recognize that this is, that he was the Son of God, now they could see. Now they could see with their eyes. Now this is something that you can't just do if you don't have power. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." He showed them both. He said to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house." And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and he went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it in this fashion." Everyone was amazed. We would be too, dear ones, if we saw it. Would we believe it? Would we believe that he's the Son of God? He will show us many miracles, dear ones, in our lives. He will show us forgiveness for our sins. He will open our eyes. He will grow our faith in us. But we have to be willing to accept it. We have to be willing to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That Jesus Christ is doing God's work. That Jesus Christ is preaching and doing what his Father will was and is. Back to the man who didn't give up. Would he have another opportunity, dear ones, to be healed, to come before him? We don't know. Maybe he would. Do we have another opportunity to come on again? and ask for the peace with God. Will we have another opportunity, dear ones, when we leave today? We see the man left changed. He got what he prayed for, and much more. But he acted on his faith. He didn't just believe in his heart that Jesus Christ can do this. He did something about it. The four men that carried him, they did something about it. They were willing to help. And Jesus recognized that faith. He recognized the prayers. And dear friends, that faith that you might have in your heart needs to be visible. That faith you need to act upon. You need to put it to action. You need to show everyone around you that you do believe and that you will do something about it. And Jesus will not turn his back on you. He never turned back on any of us who came to him. He received us with his love, gave us forgiveness of the sins, of our sins, and is giving forgiveness of our sins every single day. He will not leave you. He will not leave us if you don't leave him first. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude restored unto him, and he taught them. And he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, and at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. He didn't ask for explanation. He didn't ask, "Am I worthy?" He knew he was a sinner. He knew he was doing wrong things. He knew he was hated by probably whole nation for his job. He arose and he followed him. If you hear Jesus Christ calling you, if he's begging you to follow him, he loves you. He loves each and every one of us. He will not just ask to follow him and turn his back on us. And we need to recognize that, dear ones. And we need to have that sense of urgency as well. Will I have another opportunity? Or this is my only one? Will I be alive tomorrow? Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. Scribes and Pharisees did not like that he was eating with publicans. He did not like that he was getting mingled with a bad crowd, so to speak, with the sinners, with those that were hated, those that were, let's call them lowest of the lowest, low of the lowest, lowest of low. This is why he came. He came to call those that need his help. And in the verse 17, when Jesus heard about Pharisees and scribes talking to his disciples, complaining about this matter, he said unto them, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they there are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." If you feel righteous, my dear friend, if you feel like you're doing just fine, there's nothing wrong with you, you don't necessarily feel paralyzed, then Jesus didn't come for you. That's what he said. But if you feel you can't do it on your own anymore, if you feel you're broken, if you feel needy, if you feel like there is no other way, you probably tried even to get another way. There is no other way. If you try on your own, you're not going to go anywhere. But that's why he came to this earth. He came for those that are sick, those that need healing, for you and me. You will have to make a choice. We all had to make a choice in our lives. No one can make that choice for you. As much as everyone would like to help, we can all only help to that extent to bring you, to drop you through the roof, so you can be with Jesus. But we cannot give you the faith that you need, the trust in him that he will heal you. And not only heal you physically, maybe. Maybe he won't ever heal you physically. Maybe you will be healed only when you finish life on this earth and when you move on. But the much more important thing that he's going to offer you is to forgive your sin. If you recognize that you are sinful, if you ask him for forgiveness, if you ask him for his mercy, for his grace, this is why he came. This is why he was ridiculed. This is why he was beaten. This is why he was put up on a cross. To spill his blood, to cleanse you, your sin, and my sin. May the Lord give us all that awareness and sense of urgency, that we would recognize that we would not have that false feeling in our hearts that we're doing okay. He can only show us how bad actually we need him. May the Lord bless his words upon our hearts. Amen.
In the hymn that we opened to begin this service, we sang together, "Blessed Savior, come to me, stir my soul to motion, and impel me mightily to a deep devotion." And we've read this evening of how Jesus was able by his word to heal a man that could not move. In this beautiful message that we've heard this evening, this call of Jesus Christ, it's a call to action. It's a call to be begotten to a lively hope and to be in service to our Lord. There are pitfalls along the way, and they're illustrated here for us as we see the seeds of doubt being sown into the hearts of some that we're observing. The claim that Jesus made, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee," it seemed too high and lofty to these teachers that were sitting, the scribes. It's too high. Jesus can't be that high. And then later, they see his actions and they say, that's too low for you to be with the publicans and sinners. But faith says, nothing is too high for the Lord. He is higher than all. He is greater than all. And all power is given to him in heaven and in earth. He is the supreme. And there's no one that is too far. There is no pain that is too deep. There's no one that he does not stoop down and wash their feet and help and aid. And so Jesus is the one who we need in at all times. And in this beautiful reminder that we've had in this midweek, may we be encouraged to be those who in this story showed the heart of faith, showed the heart to believe, showed the heart to put into action and put into practice, to make those ideas that we understand and those concepts that we read about in the scripture, to bring them to life, so that our faith would not just be the concepts, but it would be the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of the things not seen. That God would receive honor and glory in all things in the way that he can work through those whose heart is perfect toward him. So may God bless his word to our hearts this evening. Amen.